Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
Get the attitude you want to stop. Anyway, appreciate everybody joining the show tonight. Topic, bad kids or poor parenting. We got Ms. Gabriella on the line. How you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm doing good.
You doing good. So college over with for you already?
Yeah, well, not done, just for the summer.
Just for the summer. All right, so you got summer break. And, you know, it's that time of year. Make sure those of you who need sunscreen, wear it. And also, it's that time of year where guys get Roman eyes because these females walk around half naked. Keep your eyes to yourself, because I know in the wintertime you want to be with that female you're with when it gets all cold. So definitely wanted to put that out there. So the topic, Ms. Gabriella, when it comes to parenting, kids, is it just bad kids today in this day and time, or is it poor parenting, both? What is it?
I think it's both. Because when it comes to children, they have to learn their behavior from somewhere. And I know that some parents will be like, well, I did whatever I could to raise my child. But whenever a child acts out or is just acting way out of line, they must have learned something from somewhere. They don't just kids don't just wake up out of nowhere and just start cutting up in class or skipping school and doing drugs and stuff. I mean, maybe it could have to do with their peers, depending on how old they are or the area that you live in. But then a lot of the stuff does happen at home, because unfortunately, especially with the single parent epidemic we have going on, it's just really hard to be there for your kids and raise them the right way. Mm-hmm. When you have so many different, like, you can only do so much as a parent. You can tell your kid what to do and what not to do, but there's so many different things to influence you. Like, we got the internet and we got TV watching the kids now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how much can you really do as a parent? And then sometimes it does fall back on the child, because, as a child, you have to take heed to what your parents say.
Yes, you do. I'm going to go into it. You know, like I said, I'm a dad. I have kids. Myself, as I stated, you know, to you guys before. And my opinion, yes, I think poor parenting has a lot to do with it. But also, I feel what stifles parenting in this day and time is the doctrine of extreme liberalism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have this attitude that during extreme liberalism, your kid can do what they want with no kind of consequence. If you try to check your child in certain ways, you're being abusive, you're hurting your self-esteem if you're telling them anything. It's sad that, like, in this day and time, if your child play a sport or they in some sort of competition, everybody gets an award. Mm-hmm. If you didn't earn the reward, so why you're getting it? And see, when you teach a child that they don't have to work hard and earn something, then they grow up with this spoiled attitude and this gimme-gimme attitude, and they don't want to do anything for themselves, and that's not how the real world works. So it does start off from parenting, but a lot of parents are, like, kind of tied a little bit on how they raise the kids today, which, in turn, when they get teenagers, they become hellraisers. And by that time, they know that, okay, my parent can't do certain things to me because I can call the police. I can say this, I can say that. That's why a lot of these kids get away with that in this day and time, because the parents a lot of times are afraid of getting arrested, getting a record, or whatever the case may be. And so it does, so, you know, society has put their hands in way too much within, you know, the upbringing of our kids. So this is my thing. You didn't make that kid. You don't feed that kid. You don't do anything for it. So why are you getting yourself involved in the rearing of my children or your children or, you know, in your case, your future children whenever you decide to have them?
Exactly, because every child does, like, every child needs different things. Like, there's some kids that won't react well to punishment. Some of them need to get spanked, or some of them need to get their things, like, their technology confiscated. What I can't stand is, like, to tie back into the thing about extreme liberalism, there's all these parenting books floating around, and half these people don't even have kids.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, but you mentioned that.
I'm an expert. Like I had talked about how there's all these relationship experts, but they haven't had a stable relationship in years. Same thing goes for these so-called parenting experts. Okay, yeah, sure, maybe you have worked with children before, but working with a child is totally different than raising one.
That's true. Like, how are you going to make a book or give advice on something you're not doing? That's why this is my thing. I'm married. I don't want no married advice from some dude that can't even get a chick.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody, if somebody will give me some advice about marriage, I want somebody that's deep in the marriage game. I mean, if you don't have more years of marriage underneath your belt than mine, then I'm like, okay, well, what makes you an expert? I don't feel nobody needs to be like this super college education to be an expert. I'd rather listen to people with life experience because the books can't teach that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of like too, like if you're in a relationship and you know, you got it, let's say you got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your girlfriends trying to tell you about a problem you and your guy may be having. But yeah, you know this chick ain't had a relationship in 4 years because of her nasty attitude,
mm-hmm.
or her laziness or whatever. But yeah, she's trying to tell you. And then the moment you listen to her, your stuff, you know, fall apart. The same thing about the parenting. You don't even have a kid. So how in the world are you going to be telling, you know, somebody with children how to handle children just because you read it in a book? I mean, come on.
And they'll be like, oh, well, I've worked with children for 40 years. I'm like, okay, I've babysat children before, and they usually cooperate because they know that, I mean, there's just a certain level of, I guess, respect and authority that you have if you're a babysitter. And sometimes children, they know that their parents love them unconditionally, so they'll act differently in front of a babysitter than they will in front of their parents because they know that no matter what, their parents will love them.
And then the thing is about the babysitter part, the babysitter gonna give that kid back. You're not stuck with that kid 24/7, so mm-hmm. you can't even compare that. I work with kids. You work with them all day, but you still, if you a school teacher, you ain't had a kid, but you've been working with students for 40 years. Yeah, you may see how kids are, but you don't live with them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't deal with the everyday problems that this kid, you know, may have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, I just think that you need to be a person that has some life experience before you're going to tell me something about my kids. Let me make sure if I say this. Call in number 347-996-3350 and make sure you press the number 1 if you want to call in and speak on the show. I want to, go down different, you know, topics tonight when it comes to parenting and the children. And one of them that really gets a lot of people going is the one about discipline. That's a big one. Because back when I was growing up, you know, I was told when I was talking the other day about this, when you act up, hey, go outside and pick that switch off that tree. I'm going to whip you. And you be looking like, dog, I got to pick a switch off a tree. And then you trying to pick which one you want. You know, you don't want to get one that's too big because that was going to hurt. You don't want to get one that's too skinny because it's going to sting.
Yeah, you know, it's all over yourself.
You see, if you get one, it has to be dry. You don't want one that's kind of like elastic-like because when it's kind of elastic-like when you bend it, that means it's going to really sting because it's going to have that little, you know, play to that stick. So you don't want that. You want to get you one that's kind of like in the middle. And that's messed up. You got to pick your own switch.
I'm sorry. That sounds so country.
What's country about?
That's something only black people will understand. Going outside to pick your switch. Because I remember seeing it. Like, I've never had to do that myself. But I know I've had friends that had to do that.
My wife said that when she got hers, she was telling me just now that she didn't get the pick.
Oh.
She said her mom went outside and just got one and made sure it was elastic and green. I said,
that's horrible.
Oh, boy, I remember a lot of wishes. I'm trying to remember one time I acted in school. And my dad came up there. My dad told me about acting in school. My dad pointed in my chest. So hard. It hurt. And he told me the worst thing you wanted to hear your dad say early in the morning when I get off of work, I'm with you.
Oh, no.
All day. It was over with. I couldn't eat right. I couldn't be right. Nut. I don't think the whole time. Then I'm looking over at the clock. Like, dog, every hour that passed,
you know,
it's getting close to me to get a whip. So then I did the bell rung at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm like, man, I'm going to get on this. So I ride on thinking, like, dog, I'm going to do this. So then I'm going to call a little boy. See, back in the day, these pants called tough skins. And they were enforced on the knees because boys always tear up the knees on their pants. And my dad came home and said, I'm putting on these tough skins. My dad said, all right. I'm about to whip you for what you did earlier. Well, hold on, wait. I got to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, dog, I got to get a whip. I'm trying to psych myself up for it, too. And so I sit there. He bang on the door. Boy, hurry up, get on out of there. I'm like, Dad, I'm pooping. I'll be out in a minute.
Ugh.
I'm thinking like, dog. Well, that's what I had to say for this to get out of it. So I said, man, I got to get it now. So I said, forget it. I got these tough skins on. So, man, my dad come out there. Man, he had that belt in his hand. And, man, my dad, I'm thinking I'm smart putting on tough skins. My dad made me pull them tough skins down. Oh, that sucks.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of something they do in Africa. Well, my stepdad told me that, like, the teachers are allowed to discipline the kids in school. And so sometimes
it happened to me, too.
Yeah, sometimes, well, I mean, I remember being in Catholic school. I'm going to have to share that story later on. But what the boys would do sometimes, they would take pieces of cardboard and stick it in the back of their pants. And, like, they would put, like, cloth and cardboard and stuff. And so then when they were getting there beaten with the stick, at least it wouldn't hurt as bad because they have all that cardboard and paper and stuff to protect them and make it a little bit.
Kids will find a way.
But if you think about it, though, kids that get punishment usually do turn out to be better adults.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I remember one time I caught a whipping. I'm like, why are you whipping me? Because I love you, and I don't want you to go to jail. That's why. And say, because them police, and they used to tell me, them police, they'll do a lot worse than me. They'll beat you down with them sticks. They'll kill you. Mm-hmm. They do all kind of stuff to you. It's at least when I'm doing it, I love you, and and every time it happened to me, it wasn't just they did it. I was sat down and explained thoroughly why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't no abuse. They didn't punch me in the face, slap me, you know. No, it wasn't abuse. It was genuine discipline, and every piece of discipline I've ever gotten, I appreciate to this day. Because the friends that I had, I did not get that type of discipline. They ended up in jail or dead.
Mm.
Same age group, whatever. Or some of them, you will go back home and see them. They still on them drugs. You're like, my God. And then you'll see them. They're like, man, you doing good for yourself. I'm like, yeah, thank God. You know, but I'm just shaking my head. You know what I'm saying? Because you grow up with people in the neighborhood, and it's just amazing how everybody takes a different route. And a lot of times it's the environment and the parenting that, you know, you had growing up. And unfortunately, in this day and time, we talk about discipline. Every time a parent wants to discipline their child, and there's many forms of discipline, we're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the physical form of discipline, it's abuse. And you shouldn't be doing that to a kid. And it's just violence, and it breeds violence, and all this other stuff that they say. But when I was growing up, which in the 80s, you know, 80s child, you know, 90s and stuff like that, graduated high school in 97, when you could do that, you didn't have some of the problems that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, yeah, I'd like to say, and not just to go racial with it, but never in my life I would ever saw a black child talking back to their mama. Because your mama would have slapped the hell out of you. And I'm going to say Hispanic parents, too, because I've seen that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in this day and time, if a black mama slapped the hell out of her child for talking back, and then folks see it, guess what's going to happen? She going to jail. And also, I want to correct something. I was corrected about something. I want to make sure I say this. You know, so a lot of people say, yeah, it's that, you know, the timeout stuff and not whipping your child. It's the
timeout don't do nothing.
It's a, well, let me get to it. It's a model of, you know, like I said, a lot of white parents. And I've had white people correct me and say, oh, no, that is them liberal white people, not the southern conservative white people. I say, you know what, you're right, because I've seen, I, matter of fact, I got a friend of mine, he'll bust his kid's tail in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like I say, he's Cajun, though. But still, they, them Cajuns don't play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, because you, I mean, in the South, you know, the South is kind of, you know, you have to respect your family, respect your parents and grandparents. You don't talk out of turn and talk back. Well, that's going to be a problem. It's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And you know, you don't, but in this day and time, you don't see that
mm-hmm.
at all. And, you know, we talk about discipline. It's different. You know, like, I don't think that's your first option, though. Like, just
mm-hmm.
swing. I think you should talk to your children first and explain to them, you know, what they did is wrong. And tell them, you know, what's going to happen to them if they continue in, you know, the error of their ways.
Mm-hmm.
And give them a chance to correct it. I don't think that should be your first option, just to swing at them.
Mm-hmm.
But
people, that's the problem. See, I think, because that kind of goes into what I was going to say, that people think that beating your kid is the only thing that you have to do as a parent. Because, you know, in the black, like, I'm not trying to make it like stereotype, but in the black community, the first thing is if someone does something wrong, it's like, oh, you should beat him. Beat your child, you know, beat his ass, get a belt, you know. Like, black parents will be so quick to hit their child, but a lot of them won't actually take the time and explain, okay, you did something wrong. I need to talk to you about this. And it takes more than just discipline to raise a kid, too. Children
love.
Yeah, they need love and support. They need somebody to turn to, so they're not going to be out there in the streets doing all kind of crazy stuff. But a lot of kids, they just act out because they want attention.
Well, it's not so much attention. Like, everything you do as a parent has to be rooted in love, even discipline. It can't be done in hate. It can't be done in malice or just anger because, you know, one thing that I was raised to know that you never, you know, physically discipline your children in anger. If you're mm-hmm. that angry, go sit down somewhere and just cool off because you're going to, you know, either hit them too hard or do something you're going to regret. And, you know, physical discipline is a teachable moment. It's not about a moment of just inflicting, you know, bodily pain for a short time to them. I mean, I tell people, talk to your children first. Give them a chance to correct it. Talk to them again if you have to. They still don't correct it, you know, along with a punishment. Now, if it gets that bad where you have to get to that point where you know your child, you do what you have to do. But it gets to a point that you shouldn't be swinging at them either. I mean, once they get a lot older, then you don't be doing that. You know, they high school, all this other stuff. You know, I mean, it just – but that's also – it depends too because – some parents going to just flip out like that girl. You know, like some people don't understand. Some videos I'll say what the parent did was abusive, and then one video I may say the parent was right for whipping. Well, you know, I look at every, you know, case when I do videos is different when it comes to parenting. Every situation is different, and every child is different, too, like you was alluding earlier. Like all my children, each last one of them have their own personality,
mm-hmm.
and it's unique. Nobody's the same. So you got to approach them different. Like my son, he's the type, you got to keep your foot on his neck. If you don't and let him think he's going to get away with something, it's going to be a problem. And every time I've told the teacher to do him that, they never had problems out of it because he needs to know that you're not playing. That's just him. You know, then I have, you know, one of my daughters, you know, she, you know, you can just talk to her and she'll get it. She won't do nothing else. Once you, if you sternly talk to her about it, you know, then I have another daughter, you know, that, she kind of hard-headed, and she's sassy with her mouth, and you got to get up on about her mouth. I got one that's like that. Yeah, I'm talking about you. And then I got another one, you know. Sometimes she thinks she know everything, which she don't, and she finds out the hard way at times. So every child is different. you know, when you're, and I have another one coming. I don't know what her personality gonna be. She probably be hard headed too. I don't know, because the combination of me and my wife, and that's not good. Being hard headed, but we'll go ahead and let callers in. Make sure that you press number one so I can know you want to talk. 347-996-3350. So let's go ahead, area code 925. You on the show?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? This is Jay Miller Speaks Out.
Oh, what's going on, brother? How you making it?
Yeah. How you doing, man? I just got off work, so I was trying to, you know, I was looking at your video, and, you know, I seen you was talking about, you know, the parenting of kids or something like that. Or feel
yeah,
me, you know,
bad
what you guys are talking about
parents.
Real quick. Or bad kids. Well, you know what I think, man? I think, honestly, that it's a little bit of both, bro. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and say that it's just the kids, but, you know, because a lot of times, man, you got a lot of these parents out there that's really behind that, you know. And we know as far as you know, minorities go, or the blacks, or the, you know, Latinos or whatever, you know, there's a problem, you know. I'm not going to say all black women, but some, you know, that, you know, they kind of, you know, how else would you say, like, when their kids do something wrong, it's like this is attitude as, oh, my kid can't do nothing wrong. My kid ain't never did nothing wrong. But when they doing all kinds of ruckus out there, you know, it's like they don't really want to go ahead and, you know, focus on the fact that their kids are doing wrong, you know. And I got this, I'm glad, man, that you talking about this, because I was just now talking to my brother-in-law, I say, about, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I ain't going to find, you know, I got some nephews out there that be doing a lot of wrong doing too, you know. They be doing things that they shouldn't be doing, I'll put it like that. And, you know, he was saying, you know, a lot of this had to do with, you know, some of the ways that, you know, my family members, the way they raise them. And then a lot of times, you know, people don't really like to, you know, they don't like to talk about their flaws of how they raise the kids. And a lot of times, man, people got to realize that we have to learn to break the cycle. You know, there's a cycle that's going on, a vicious cycle that a lot of people really do not want to break, you know, because of the way we may have been raised. And a lot of times people use that as an excuse so they don't have to go ahead and you know, and take responsibility of, you know, raising their kids the right way. Now, you know, like, as far as me, you know a little bit of my background, but I feel like this, that, you know, some of that is, you know, the parents' fault. But then at the exact same time, though, you got some really – you got some real bad kids out there nowadays. I'm not going to front. You got some evil bastards out there. You know, I hate to sit there and say it. You know, you got some ones out there that's just doing stuff that I know that, you know, when we were younger, because I'm 32. You said you were, what, 36, man, right?
No, I'm 34. I'll be 35 in
June.
Oh,
okay. Okay, so, you know, we're about like 2 years apart. Okay, so,
yeah.
You know, when we were younger, there's a lot of things that I think that wouldn't fly compared to, like, nowadays. You know what I'm saying, man? So my personal opinion, I do believe that it is both to a certain extent, because, you know, you got parents out there that have, you know, tried to raise their kids in the right way, steer them in the right directions, and sometimes they still turn out to be bad. But in my personal opinion, from the things that I see, you do have a lot of parents out there that's not really handling their business, and a lot of the kids are acting the way they do because, you know, a lot of parents they're following after the footsteps of what they see their parents doing, which is sad, you know? So, I mean, that's just my take up on it. You know, I mean, my little quick take up on it, man.
Well, sure, let me ask you a question. When it comes to, because we've gone down different type of topics when it comes to parenting on discipline.
Mm-hmm.
What is your method of discipline with your children?
My method of discipline is like this. Okay, hold on. First of all, I'm going to say this. When I was growing up, I'm not going to lie, you know, my mom and, you know, and my dad at times, you know, my mom used to take it too far, you know. You know, when we grew up back then, you know, you couldn't really talk back. Sometimes your mother punched you right up in the face, you know, or they grab anything they can in the room and beat you down with it, you know. But, my thing is this.
That's a bit far.
Yeah, it's a bit far. Yeah, exactly. And I'm not going to lie, a lot of that, you know, borderline, that was child abuse to a certain extent. My thing is this. Yeah, I do spank my kid with a belt every once in a while, but I don't have to do that often, you know what I mean? I've had to whoop my son not more than 10 times with the belt. My method of discipline is like this. I do try to talk to my son. I try to talk to him, give him you know, chances, let him know what he's doing is wrong. But if he keep on, I'll give him his fair warning, but if he keep it up, it all depends on the severity of what he's been doing. But if it's something like, you know, disrespecting his mother or disrespecting, you know, his elders or something like that, talking to people crazy, it's only going to be about 1, 2, 3 strikes, then you're out, you know? Because I'm not, you know, I'm not going to sit there and just, you know, let my son disrespect his mother. Like you see a lot of these kids out here, I've seen it myself, a lot of these kids, they can call their mother bees, you know, cut their parents out. And I'm
that,
like,
that
you know.
I get mortified when I hear that. Like, you're going to call your mama the bee word? Like, are you freaking crazy, dude?
Exactly,
that's the thing. They know that there's not going to really be any consequence because I don't know. There was a Dr. Phil clip that was circulating around. It was pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
Where there was like these really really out of control kids, little boy slapping his mom, and he was like he was standing up, pointing in his mother's face while she was sitting down crying, and he was like, "How does it feel to be have somebody yell at you?" Blah blah. And I was like. Basically, the roles were reversed. It was like the kids were running the house.
Exactly. What she's saying is totally right. I can tell you right now that I have a friend, I'm not going to say their name, of course not, but where their kid basically runs her. And it got to the point where he was trying to fight his mother in my house, where I had to basically grab her son and, you know, restrain this boy down and told him, like, you know, you're not going to talk to your mother like that. You know, so it went into a whole 45-minute, you know, fandango in my living room. Not that I whooped him. I didn't, you know, of course not. He ain't my son like that. But this is how far, you know, he was cussing his mother out. And, like, you know how you flinch at somebody with your fist? He was doing that to his own mother. And I had to take his mother outside and talk to her, like, look, you know, this is real talk, man. This is a real true story. I'm not even funny. And I had to come out, you know, and talk to his mother, like, look, you know, do you want him to turn out to be some type of a thug or whatever? Because if you don't do nothing, you know, then that's what he's going to turn out to be. You know, he's going to have a lot of problems when he gets older. If you think he got problems now, what do you think he's going to be like when he gets older? You know, and he's a little mixed kid, so, you know, she's a white lady or whatever, and he's half black. But I told her, you know, he already going to have to deal with a lot of adversities of, you know, being half black in the first place. But do you really want to let it go this far? I say, because I feel like to a certain extent, you know, all kids are supposed to have some type of fear of your parents, you know, a fear that if you do something wrong, hey, I can get in trouble. You know what I'm saying, man? And I feel like this. I feel like there's nothing wrong when it comes down to it. Yeah, discipline your kid with a belt or whatever if you have to do it. If your kid is out there cussing you out, then, I mean, they ain't no, I don't know what other type of way to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can talk to your kids. There's some kids you can send them to the corner. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, whatever works. But some kids, you know, some kids out there that are very hard-headed. You know, and they will test you. You know what I mean? And it's like, what are you going to do?
Because some kids are stubborn like a mule.
Exactly.
And you know, let me tell you something about that. When you have them stubborn children, if you think you could talk to a mule and make him move, it ain't going to work. How they make a mule move?
Exactly.
They swat him on his behind to make him move. Because he won't do it. And they got some kids that are that stubborn, and you have no choice but to do that. But I tell people this. If you get to your kids... When they get around 2 years old, okay, and they start trying you at two, that's the time you need to establish who's the parent and what you're not going to put up with. Because if you don't establish it at 2, 3, 4, 5, then you can't establish it at 12, 13, 14, and 15.
You hit it up on the nail, okay?
That's the thing. That's the thing. You have to start early because after a certain point, I was like, I'm not an expert or anything, but once kids start to get that mouth on them, like, when they start to get to school and they actually... Because there's a certain age when kids are, like, about 7 or 9, and they start to get a smart mouth and they start talking back and they realize that their words actually mean something and they can say different things and they know what buttons to press. If you don't nip that in the bud early, it'll be way too late. Because I've seen parents that really, really lean in on their kids when they were young, and then when they were old, it was way too late. And they tried to instill values in their children, and they tried to discipline them and say, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But it's like, well, man, you let me get away with everything my whole life, and you coddled me, and you let me do whatever I wanted to do. And now that I'm a teenager, and I'm out here sneaking boys in the house, and I'm or sneaking girls or sneaking boys in the house, and I'm out here running the streets all night, sneaking out of the house and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, they know that... They know from the past their parents will let them do whatever they want, so they don't really care. And it's hard.
Exactly.
You can't, like, after a certain stage, there's nothing you can really do. The kids are basically out of control now.
And you know what? And what she's saying is the total truth. How do I know this? It's because I have my oldest nephew. Where is he at right now? He's in prison right now. You know what I mean? Because of, you know what I mean? Not having the proper parenting. Now, I'm going to ask you something real quick, advice. So would you rather, do you have any sons? I don't know if you have any sons or daughters or whatever.
Yes, I have a 9-year-old son. He'll be 10
okay.
this year.
And I'm pretty sure I'm going to get the right answer up out of you. Would you rather have, you know what I mean, try to, you know, how does it say, like, nip all the stuff in the bud right now, try to discipline your son the right way, so when he grows older, do you think that you're going to be dealing with him trying to raise up to you when he gets older, you know what I mean? Because once they get a certain age, you ain't going to be able to whoop him with a belt or whatever, you know. How would you rather handle that? You would rather, I'm pretty sure you would rather have, raise your son up the right way, raise him to be respectful at an early age, so you don't have to worry about that when you get older, right? Because I'm pretty sure you ain't going to have your son trying to fight you.
Well, yeah, I said that earlier. I mean, it's with your son, you need to establish to him, you the father, and he going to respect you.
Exactly.
And cause see, back in the day, you know, if any guy halfway thought about bucking up to his father or even talking too crazy to his mother, I've been told stories by dudes that their dads knock them clean out at 16.
Bro.
I mean, fists knock them out. And then when they wake up, they say, hey, you know why I knocked you out? Because you talk crazy. Your mother, my wife.
Exactly, you know. And I, a lot of times, you know, sometimes my wife, I've had to, because I'm more of the discipliner, you know, and because he's a boy. You know, I told him I'm kind of a little bit more harder up on him because I don't want him to grow up to be a certain type of way. I don't want my son to be.
Let me ask you a question about that. Like, does your wife, does she discipline him too, or is she just kind of pushing on you to do it?
She disciplines him too, but I put it like this. He doesn't listen. My son doesn't listen as much to my wife as he would me because of our different backgrounds. Like, see, I was, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, before we even had our kid, I said, you know, I will discipline my son to full extent in order to get him in line or whatever. But she wasn't whooped, you know what I mean? So she doesn't like spanking. You know what I mean? Me, I was spanked.
See, I'm going to tell you a problem. I'm going to tell you a problem right now with my son, okay, because of that. Mm-hmm. See, when I was with my ex, she used to always say, you do it. And I'm like, I used to tell her all the time, you need to do it. I say, because I may not always be around. And then what you going to do with it when I'm not around? And case in point, I'm not around. And she has issues with him, but when he comes with me, he don't try me like that. She tell me all the stuff that he tried. My wife said he tries a little bit. But, he tried one time because I laid off of him. You know, I'm not going to do it because I ain't trying to. Because one time, you know, I got up on him and she was like, because she was just pissed off and say, calling folks. And I said, okay, I laid off. And then, he did something that was just way out of line. I said, look, either I'm taking him home and you get him or what? He said, oh, no, you wrong for that. So, okay, I hit him like, I think maybe once or twice cause on the butt because I asked the police officer a long while ago about what would get me arrested. And he said, look, if you hit him once or twice on the butt, he said, that's fine. But he said, you beat him across the back and make him bruises and the legs, we will get arrested. He said, because Texas do have that reasonable discipline for parents here. It's not illegal here. You know, I did that, and he was reminded, oh, shoot, he going to hit me. So it was
exactly.
You know, he ain't been – he won't, I'd say, hey, you want something else? And he like, nah. I'm
exactly. No, exactly, and that's what they remember. So that's the reason why, you know, like when I upload videos, you know how you upload videos, you got these people that's like, oh, man, any kind of, you know, like if you spank your kid on the butt with your hand, that's child abuse. Everything is child abuse. And they think, like, oh, you're a bad parent, this and that. I'm like, perfect. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, man, I don't even spank my son a lot. You know what I mean? I hardly have to ever spank my son. You know what I mean? Because I know he don't listen to me.
This is the thing. Them same people that's telling you abusing your child, be the first one complaining about your child when your child go carjack somebody.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much, man.
Over there in California beating your son down in the middle of the street. You know what I'm saying? You know they'll do it, a taser son. You know police so dirty over there, they be beating your child with their fist, beating him with a stick, and tasing him all at the same time.
Exactly, man. And, you know, this is a problem, I believe, you know, especially with a lot of black folks right now, man. We have got to realize, man, that we have got to nip a lot of this stuff in the bud, man.
I'm going to hold you up on that. It's a problem with everybody, not just black
people.
I know, in the black community,
you're right.
We deal with problems, but, you know, like, everybody got that issue. I mean, trust me, I got parents complaining all over the place. about the same
that
issue.
That is true, bro. You know what? I take that back. You
also,
are right about that.
Let me throw a misconception out there, too, when Ms. Gabrielle said something earlier about poor neighborhoods. Do you realize that children that come from areas where the parents are well-off actually do more drugs than the kids in the so-called
school? Oh, bro. Bro, if I could tell you how many – oh, man. You hit it up on the nail. And that's the problem I have.
It really does.
Exactly. And you tell me the truth. It's a big hypocritical thing. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I hate to – I'm just going to go ahead and keep it real here. I'm not trying to – you know, I don't generalize everybody, but – like, you know, a lot of times it tends to be white folks who try to, oh, well, you know, look at these black kids up in there. But then that kid doing everything up under the sun, but then they don't ever want to talk about that, you know. A lot of these kids that have money, because I see a lot of people don't really know. I work around a lot of people with money, rich people, things like that, because I got to go in their houses. And, I used to work at a car dealership. I see how a lot of the kids get down. A lot of times when they're very spoiled brats, especially when they don't get what they want to get. You know what I mean? And it's the truth. And a lot of times, yeah, they do have a lot of problems with doing drugs. They smoke weed, too. They in there listening to rap music and doing everything up under the sun. But their parents are so worried about what they see up on the news, what other kids is doing, that they ignoring what their own is doing. And I think that's totally unfair. You know, so I'm glad that you did bring that up. That pisses me off when people do that. It's so biased of an opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's true because there's all kinds of stories. You could pull up stories of, like, I don't mean to get graphic, but there's stories of they would go and they would have, like, pill-popping parties where they'll just have, like, a big bowl.
Yes.
They'll mix up all different types of pills, and they'll just grab a handful and just take them. They'll have orgies. They'll do all kinds of wild and crazy things. Most a black kid would do is probably smoke some weed and skip school and maybe bring somebody over, but, I mean... There's problems in every single community. There's people,
it definitely is.
I always talk about the middle of America kids that do the meth and heroin and all that. People seem to act like those people don't exist, but they'll always be quick to say, oh, gang violence in Chicago. Oh, the black kids are out of control. But it's like, okay, what about people that do meth? What about people with their teeth are falling out? I mean,
I've seen it because I didn't realize that meth was that bad. In the white
California, my area is real bad, bro.
Like where my job is at, like it's a bunch of meth heads. I mean, when that time I was in the we call it the meth store because it's a store and they always coming in. And I mean, one time I saw them, you know, meth heads, crack heads, they all got the same look. So I was watching.
Exactly.
It was a dude and a chick, and I was looking. I said, man, they come up to me with some stuff. I'm going to go inside one of them head. I don't play with that stuff. And then one time I was trying to, I said I wouldn't even pump gas. One time I went pump gas over there. Because I said, okay, I'm low on gas. I pump gas and go right back to work because they'll let us do that. And, man, this crazy female just walks up. Can I have a ride? I'm like, hell no. I don't know you.
What? You know,
you
man.
You know what I'm saying? She left. You know what I'm saying? That's how they end up on the TV somewhere, going to some strange guy for that stuff.
Exactly.
You don't know who I am. I could be the reincarnation of Ted Bundy, and you just coming up to me.
Asking, exactly, man. You know, the thing is, too, is like when you bring up the whole meth thing, see, over here where I'm at, a lot of times, see, this is what I be trying to tell people. You know, a lot of these suburban neighborhoods, these really nice, you know, supposedly neighborhood that, you know, ain't no crime, yada, yada, yada. A lot of these houses over here, they use these houses as for meth labs, you know, and it's right under everybody's nose. It's either they're growing a big old weed operation or they're using them for meth labs. And it's funny
but
that,
I'm
you know, the
tell you
people...
What. I'm going to tell you what, that is bad, what you're talking about, but really the biggest thing that happens in those neighborhoods, and even those kids get a hold to it too, because they see their parents doing it, a lot of them drug dealers are CVS and Walgreens and Rite Aid. That's a drug dealer.
Oh man. Exactly.
And you're making vodka behind it or whatever else, selling Vicodin or Xanax or some, you know, prescription drug that you can get. And you hear story after story about these households with even some of these kids. One of your children tell you, say, my mom, all she does is take pills. And they got these big old houses, nice cars. I mean, just nice where they live, but the mama is popping pills every day and just being drunk all day. And she's a stay-at-home mom. You know, the dad works all day, and that's all she got to do is basically much of nothing, you know, because he provides, you know.
And not to even mention, you know, like get on Megan. Let's not mention that. Get on Megan's Law. You see how many, you know what I mean, child molesters are living through these neighborhoods. But they ain't nobody saying nothing about that type of stuff. It's like, I don't understand it. You know, a lot of people like to switch the blame on the person that's selling the drugs. But how are these drugs getting here in the first place? You know what I mean? And then it's like,
That's a deep rabbit hole, but you know, that's a different show. But like, let me jump back on it. We talked about the discipline part. Well, let's move on to, should you be your child's friend, or should you be your child's parent, and how does that have effect on the child?
I got something to say about that.
Yeah. Wait, Gabriella.
Okay.
I do not think that you should try to be your child's friend. A parent is a parent. And from the way that I was raised, I don't see my parents as my friends. I see them as the people that I can ask for life advice and things like that. And I know that when I really need them, they're going to be there for me. And they never let me, like, I was really, really sheltered as a kid. There was a lot of stuff I never really got to go to parties. I didn't get to do half of the stuff that people my own age did. But I'm actually thankful because.
And let me ask you a question before you continue. Are you dead? Because you didn't go?
No.
Okay, I just want to say
that. I think I'm actually a lot better off. I think I am.
You're a lot better off because you didn't get to go to parties with strange people?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Great.
I mean, what is a party going to – that's something else. But I just – actually, even as an adult, I have no interest in going to the club or going out partying because there's no benefit to it. But, you know, that's besides the point. The kids that I see right now that, like – there's people that I grew up with and people that I've seen, and their parents would let them do whatever they wanted. Their parents were so caught up in trying to be their child's best friend, and they'll let their kids do whatever, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm the cool mom or I'm the cool dad. You can do whatever you want. And the kids that had those type of parents, like, you know, the kids that were like me that didn't really get to do anything, we're like, oh, man, I wish my parents would be a little more like that. But then when you see them as they get older, these people are depressed. They're lost. They don't really have much guidance because they're really suffering because they don't really know how to make their way in the world because their parents just let them do whatever they want and always bail them out when something bad happened to them. So they don't know what it's like to really be an adult.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let me address something because this came up earlier in the comments Ustream, and it says a lot of parents that they act more like their kid's friend, as a result, the boundaries of respect and authority are blurred or missing. The meaning of parents is only in namesake. So that's true. Like, that's definitely true. When you're your child's friend, they don't respect you. When you let your child cuss in front of you, if you say,
exactly.
Oh, my mom lets me smoke weed at the house because she says that she'd rather me smoke weed here than smoking on the street, or she'd rather me drink here than drink on the street. And all
exactly,
this other stuff,
man.
No, that is completely wrong. I mean, how are you going to do that? But let me ask one person this question here. Eric Code 832, you on the show?
How you doing, Avasho?
Ms. How
Gabriella?
You doing?
All right, Jay Miller. Good. I know it's a little bit about Jay Miller. It's LAR, man. You're saying hello to
us. Oh, what's cracking with you, bro? How you doing, man?
All right.
That's good, man.
I'm glad to talk to you folks.
All right.
I believe the same thing you guys believe. If you make your kid your friend, I believe the same thing you guys believe. If you make your child your friend, your child is going to resent you and hate you. Because ultimately, they're going to think you don't love them because you don't care enough to make sure that they don't do stuff that might get them hurt. So
I agree.
If you want to be your kid's friend, that's going to lead you down a slippery slope. Now, when a parent should be a child's friend, it's probably when that child is an adult and capable to handle the world. That's when you should be a friend. Before then, you're really setting them up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, the relationship that I have with my mother is completely different as an adult as it was when I was a kid. Like, there's certain things that I can discuss with her. And, I mean, there's certain things I'll probably never, ever be able to do in front of my parents. Like, I can't. Like, I can drink, like, a wine cooler or something if we're at an event, but I would never try to, you know, go crazy and try to be turning up in front of my parents out of respect. I don't do it myself, but I'm just saying, you know, and I can't curse in front of my parents. I can't be, like, kissing all on some guy in front of my family. There's just certain things that you can't do. But even then, I still have a different relationship with my mom now. And a lot of women, they always say, you know, their mom is their best friend when they become an adult. And I think it's better when you're – because I'm actually really thankful for the way that I was raised. Like, my parents were always very hard on us and very strict, but it's like – but now, looking back and just the things that are going – like, everything is going right for me in my life, and things are going really well, and I look at everybody else, and I'm like, man – I used to hate my parents back then. I used to hate how my friends would be able to go out and stay out all night, and they could go to parties, and they had boyfriends. And, like, I wasn't even allowed to date until I was 16. And even then, like, I didn't even really even, like, I couldn't even really have a boyfriend at all in high school.
And they did good. Like, my wife heard what you said. She said, see, 16. I'm like, no, not
yeah,
exactly.
16.
As a dad, you don't want your daughter, like I say, come home pregnant, raped, or killed. That's really what you think of as a
exactly. Because that's exactly what's going on. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to tell her, like, you don't really miss too much, you know, going out there and partying, all that type of stuff, because a lot of the times, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. Like, when I was younger, you know, when I was, like, in my early 20s, a lot of them clubs is dangerous. I'm going to keep it real. A lot of them places that people like to go and they think is fun and all fun and games, it's all fun and games until something happens. And a lot of these places, like I said before, they're dangerous because when somebody gets into an argument, it's a good chance that somebody's going to be shooting in the parking lot or something, you're going to be ducking, or somebody eventually is going to get killed at the place, you know, at one of your favorite places, and it's just not worth it, in my opinion. So after a while, see, there's no way in the world that I would go to any of them type of places anymore. You know, I would never take my wife to any of those type of places, and I've tried to tell other people that too. Like, why do you want to go to these type of places? And then, you know, what's even more crazy, you know, you're talking, since we're talking about the, you know, the parents and the kids, it, you know, it's really bad when you have parents that grew up that way, but then now they're kicking it with their daughters, and now they out just doing exactly
yeah,
their
that's
daughters
messed
are doing.
Up.
I'm
it's
like
you got the daughter,
about?
You got the daughter and the ratchet mama in the club together.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh
my
yeah,
god!
Yeah, man, you know what I'm saying?
You've seen them clips where it'll be like mother and daughter twerk off or something. Like it'll be like mom and daughter twerking together, and
yeah,
I'm like, what is this? Mama would.
I mean, like,
that's
come
what I'm
on.
Saying,
like, why, I mean, yeah. like, you should feel, like embarrassed that your mother is coming up here dressing like like I'm going old school, a hoochie mama, in a doggone
exactly.
Club somewhere, and you dancing and acting a fool with your mama. But see, some of the problem, let me come with some of the problem. Some of the problem is that some of those mothers had those kids very young.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's like about
you hit it on the nail, man.
Her daughter's 18. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
No, you hit it on the nail, man. That's very much true. That's the problem a lot of times. You know, it's true, man. I'm telling you, I got so many examples that I know of this. Teenage pregnancy, you know, having their kids super early. And I guess, you know, some women say, well, you know, I never had a childhood because I had my kid when I was so, you know, so young. So now they want to try to wild out now. But sometimes I just think even then that's still an excuse because they was already still wilding out back then. But then they use that as an excuse to keep doing it. But what you're saying is the exact truth. You know, a lot of it, because of, you know, teenage pregnancy. That teenage pregnancy ain't no joke.
You know,
man.
You know something else I want to add too, and then, like I said, I'm not going to mention names, but it's something I seen the other day. And you know, especially when a woman may have a son or sons, and if you're dressing that way in front of your son and treating your sons like they're your friend, the thing is. You know, a lot of these mothers don't realize you are actually setting a tone for how your son going to treat women. And if you are not respectful in your dress and, you know, why in the world would he, you know, seek a female that's respectful or why would he, you know, treat women with some sort of respect? Because usually, I'm beyond with you, usually it's kind of true. Most men are going to look for some characteristics of their mother in a woman that they're going to be with some sort of character, you know, not saying she's acting like the mom. Do what?
Can I speak about something in that ballpark?
Yeah, go ahead.
It cracks me up that nowadays part of the biggest problem with parenting is the dysfunction of co-parenting. Because when the other parent says, yo, that's not going to work. then you get that back and forth fight, like, you can't tell me what to do. And then the other parent's like, look, you think it's good now, but later on, you're going to be calling me to fix stuff that you created. And that's how even teenage pregnancy. That's what the grandparents used to do. They're like, look, you done lost your mind. We're going to take over because obviously you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's that big fight, like, you know, I don't mean to be wrong when I say this. Mothers are saying, you can't tell me how to raise my kid. And it's like, that ain't just your kid. But when your kid winds up pregnant or shot or locked up or going down a bad path, and you were like, you need to talk to your daddy. And by that time, it may be too late.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a lot of those. I'm glad you brought that point up real quick. It happens with a lot of those mothers. They kids mm-hmm. get to the point, she allowed them to act a fool when they were small, mm-hmm. and now they're 12, 13, wilding out, and all of a sudden you want to call a dad up and say, you need to go live with your daddy. Yeah, after you didn't about ruin the kid? now you say
exactly.
He needs to go do the hell with him?
Oh, I see. And I see that a lot. There was, I can't remember what TV show that was, but it was, I think it was like Steve Wilkos' show. I know daytime television is pretty stupid, but there was these two girls that their mother was, I think she was on drugs, and she was just she really did a horrible job of parenting, and then she sent them to go live with their older auntie, and then the kids decided, I think they went back to go and live with their mother, and the aunt had did whatever she could to instill values in the kids, and they were doing a lot better, and then all of a sudden she started, they went back to go stay with their mother, who was still dealing with the drug issue, and she had problems with men and bringing different men around the kids and stuff and going to the club and all that stuff. And she was a teen mom, you know. She was in her late 30s, and she was still trying to turn up and be partying at her age. And then her daughter, one of them was a stud, shaved her hair all off. She was doing drugs, selling drugs, stealing stuff, stealing from the family to go and buy drugs. And then the other daughter became a prostitute. And it's like, you have to be so careful what you do with your kids. And people don't realize the effect that their lifestyle has on their children. Like, people think that they can do whatever they want. They'd be like, oh, well, I'm grown. I can do whatever I want to do. My kids need to understand that, you know, this is what I'm doing is what a grown person is supposed to do. They shouldn't try to mirror me. But kids are going to mirror what they see.
Yeah, but that definitely leads on to the next thing I want to cover, but let me ask the next person's question. Area code 352, you on the show? Area code 352?
Oh, my bad. I was on mute. Pleasure. This is Nate from Sunshine State. I want to get in a thought here really quick. We're talking a lot about kids. We're talking about what? Discipline, making sure they have the right character, making sure they get the right training. But I honestly think what children need is they need a constant stream of positive educational building activities. And I think that, as many as I see with a lot of African-American parents, you don't have, like, the parents really investing time in not just ballet, you know, not just football, fencing, music, art, karate, like really, you know, training them not just activities but also how the world works, you know, how to, you know, what a stock is and, you know, why do people pay property taxes, different things like that, to where the kid mm-hmm. has a comprehensive view of life and of the world do what I say or else I'm going to give you this belt. And kids just, to my knowledge, just want to have fun, and they want to be kids. But I think from what I've seen as being a black person, I've been a black person for quite a long time, what I've seen is in a lot of black families, it's just pretty much do your homework, don't get pregnant, don't do drugs, or else you're going to have to deal with this fist or you're going to have to deal with this belt. Or if you're going to do something, play football or read books. And it's like the kids aren't given much options because you have a lot of people, parents, that care more about their career, their life, than making big piles of money instead of, like, really giving their life and investing in their kids. That's that's what I think is a central issue. What do you say about
that? Yeah, I do agree with that actually a lot, because, you know, a lot of parents, especially in single-parent households, they just trying to take care of their kid, pay the bills, and say, oh, like you say, get through high school. They don't even have a college mindset. They must say, well, look, I've done my job. You're 18, you did whatever. Really, as a parent, you're supposed to prepare your child for the world, and that does include everything you talked about, because that is the world. That's why I'm a firm believer when a kid get of age, they need to go to work so they can understand how some
exactly.
of this world about taxes, like you're talking about, and IRS mm-hmm. and the workforce and how to conduct yourself at work and be responsible to clock in on time and staying busy at your job and all things that you know, requires you to, you know, to live. Because, you know, if you don't do nothing for them or don't teach them, it ain't going to be your problem.
Hey, can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me. What he's saying is right, though, like, too, like what I agree with. I think that, too, like there's a lot of parents that don't even teach their kids about credit, you know? You know, a lot of times, you know, when you're younger, that takes time to learn if nobody ain't teaching you. You know, if you get a credit card, they think, oh, I got this money to spend. They don't realize that they have to pay that back. And after a while, that messes up your credit. A lot of parents, I do believe, especially, you know, ones in the African-American community, I think they really do need to sit down and have a talk with their kids about credit when they're, like, you know, in 18 or when they're trying to get a job
and
things
like
that.
But you know what? To keep it real about credit, in the black community, we don't have a value on credit at all. We don't even know much about credit. A lot of times we even ruin our kids. Back in the day before they stopped this, we ruin our kids' credit. Go get bills, kids' names, credit card, your kids' names. Your kid turned 18, they got like $40,000 in debt when they try to get a credit card.
Exactly.
Like, I ain't never had a credit card. And your mama started stubbing
hey,
a long time
ago. Hey, this
dude
telling the truth right here. Hey, man, you are telling the truth. You are telling the truth right there.
I think this happened. And in the black community, we value credit. And people need to understand, sometimes they say, well, white folks won't give us a loan for this, and white folks won't give us a business loan. But wait a minute. Everything has a system the way it works in America, and credit is one of them. And it doesn't matter about the color. But like a lot of times you even heard comedians say, oh, I'm going to give me a white girl with good credit. Well, why you got to be a black with bad credit? You know, it's like saying that you're paying your bills on time. That's
But you know what? You know what? You had three or four different points that really makes my spider sense tingle on the real. You're talking about they need to learn how the world works by getting a job. What about these black parents have businesses to where they can hire their kids instead of looking to white people to hire them? What about these black parents being able to say, spit on your credit. My kid already has been set up. I have him set up with already this much in saving. If they want to go to the white school to get educated, they can. If they want to work for me and be, you know, because I spent time with my kids. You have, I mean, this foolishness about media, my definition of media, Nate from the Science Today patented it. My definition of the media is for people that don't have a wife and don't have parents. So when you have people saying, oh, black women in the media or black men in the media, it shows from what I've seen that you don't have your own life. And you're just sitting there looking at a box that really is just selling you stuff and being confused by the images that you're being shown. So, again, with a lot of parents, I'll say this and I'll shut up, a lot of parents, they don't invest in their kids, and they're looking at the kids like, what's your dang problem? Why are you so crazy? Why are you twerking? Why are you doing this stuff? Because they're not being invested in and parented and set up for success to where they have no other option but to shine and lean back. That's all I got for now.
You know, I remember the biggest sign of knowing if somebody had a bad parent or not is when I was in college. And they didn't want to have nothing to do with them, because that's when all the debt and all of you 18 and you grown, but you don't know exactly what to do with yourself. And now you're mad at your parents because you don't know how to navigate through the world, and they haven't taught you the things that you probably could use in college to better yourself. Because I see a lot of people who are past that point and adults like ourselves, and they have kids, and then it's like, wait a minute. When I was a kid, you could have taught me this at that age. When I was a kid, you could have taught me how to do this at that age. When I was ready to go to school, you could have taught me to do this so I wouldn't have to have the situation that I had. And it becomes, at that point, that's when you know if a person was really a bad parent or not, because a lot of times when those kids have kids, they start to look at their parents either with a newfound respect or a newfound disdain, because they start to realize you, it's not that you were a bad parent, you didn't want to be a parent. And that's when it just, it all hits the fan. Because a lot of people, whether they're black or not, you could tell a lot of people don't talk to their parents no more. That's 25, 30 and up. And it's because they never prepared them for life. And not, and not those adults like, but you want me to take care of you and your lady? I don't think so.
Also, like I said, my wife just brought up a point. She said some teachers also part of the blame also. Because, like, it's true, because in this day and time, when it comes to preparing your children for the world, yes, you know, it's usually supposed to be the parent and the teacher go hand in hand with that, for helping them increase their knowledge to deal with things in the world. And now these teachers these days, they don't care about education. I mean, back in the day, you would want to fail because they'd be calling your mama or calling your dad or calling somebody, and they wouldn't let you fail. Now they don't care. But then also we got a problem with the teachers, as I see in many videos, they ate up with a fire crotch now. They always want to be lap dancing on your kids, you know, licking your kids, and sleeping with your kids. They're doing all this stuff to the educate. They want to do all this stuff to the educate. What I don't understand, let me ask something, I don't understand. Why is it that all these women teachers are wilding out? I mean, like, I'm telling you.
Hey, dude, you hit
like
on
about
the nail.
Five
you hit on the nail, man.
Just this week alone.
I got to ask
you. You know what? I can do it myself.
Hey, let me ask you.
Go ahead, man. I got the answer to it. Have you ever noticed when you go to school, most fathers are not allowed? See, once you disappear, the father coming to school to tear somebody up or even tell one of these teachers or guards up who are out of line, you can do whatever you want. That's why a lot of these kids, in your right mind, you're thinking to yourself, as a father, where is daddy at? Because if my kid came up like that, I'll probably come through a window, walk through the front door, come through the back door, somebody, a head in a roll. You never see a father at a courtroom. You never see a father, a teacher out at school. You never see a father beat down a principal, because once you have sex with a kid, you're having sex with somebody's kid. And you don't even, and the problem is you don't see these mothers do anything about it. They just sit there crying. No, they have nobody to fear. Nobody.
Society as a whole, because, you know, if a woman does it, especially to a male student, you know, it's okay, but I tell people that if the roles reversed, we had like all these epidemic of male teachers sleeping with girls, it would be an outrage. It would be government getting involved. Hold on. But okay, my wife's saying it's a double standard because a lot of men applaud their sons. I wouldn't applaud my son because I don't know what that teacher got. She could have herpes.
Exactly.
That's the problem, though, because men will be like, oh, yeah, I wish my teacher would have slept with me in school. You know, that's what guys will say.
Well, just because a guy
says
it's
a
law. The law is a law. It doesn't matter what men say.
Yep. Every time I do like a video up on this, you know, I get these kind of comments too. And I think the same thing. I feel like, you know what, if it was a woman doing it to a student, it's wrong. Because I don't want my son laying up with some chick that I don't know what her personal lifestyle is like. Like you said, yeah, I'm going to be super mad. I asked my wife, I said, what would you do if you found out some, you know, older chick your age was, you know, laying up with our son? You know, how would you feel about that? You know, if she even told me, she'd be super mad. I'd be ready to fight her or whatever. I was like, but you got a lot of dudes out there that, oh, well, you know, if it's my son, I don't really care, you know. I'm like, a lot of these dudes, man, is out of line for that, man. If you don't want your daughter doing it, then why would you want your son doing it? You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm telling y'all, I could do a fire crotch week on my channel. And I could have it all week long featuring teachers. Wow. It would be hard for me to find it. Hashtag Fire Crotch Week. Maybe I should do that. It's not bad.
But you know what, though, man? Like you said, it's becoming an epidemic.
Yeah, it's that bad.
And like there's so many news articles. It is getting crazy because there'll be like teachers that'll sit there and buy the kids, like they'll buy them shoes, buy them clothes, sleep with them, give them good grades on their homework, and then the little boys be like, man, that's my meal ticket right there. But they don't realize the effect that it has on them when they get older, because then when they get older, they have all types of problems. They're very promiscuous. They don't really know how to handle a real relationship. Like, they don't realize the psychological damage that having sex with somebody who's older than you has. But they think, oh, it's cool. You know, like, sometimes, just like you said, like, the parents will sit there and applaud their son. It's like, oh, man, yeah, my son, he's a ladies man. He's a lady killer. He got all these older women buying him stuff and taking care of him and all this. Like, no, that's disgusting.
Exactly.
How would you feel if a 40-year-old man was messing with your 14-year-old daughter? You wouldn't think that's cool. So why is it okay for a 35-year-old
teacher? But see, in my videos, I've never advocated that it was okay for these women teachers to do that, you know? Now, other people in the comment section, oh, man, wish you was my teacher. I say, y'all stupid. The whole reason I say you're stupid is because of this one reason. How? Because you're letting them get away with it. That's why when you say it, that's why these judges don't throw the hammer at them when they come before the courtroom, is because of y'all saying, I wish you would sleep with me. But when a man does it, everybody wants pitchforks and torches.
You know what the weird part about that, too? Let that kid get that 35-year-old teacher pregnant. He a grown man. She ain't even a pedophile.
Oh, check this out. Check this out. This one story of a teacher sleeping with a student when he was underage, got her pregnant. When he turned 18, do you know the state put child support on him?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
That is crazy, man. But, yeah. A lot of that is the double standards of America. That's what I'm saying. Like, America, this country, man, it's like it's always okay for one group to do one thing, then the other one do it, then it's not. And, you know, a lot of people feed into it. You know, it's like the other gentleman was talking about, you know, people sit behind that TV so much, man, they start really believing everything they see on TV. Everything they hear and see, they believe it without any question, without doing any research.
It's propaganda. You know? And really brainwashing techniques that are done through that television, and people don't realize that. You can get more people to do more things by repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You constantly say something in repetition, you get something done. Like I say, I'm gonna give you a small nugget of what I do. When you watch my videos, every time I was at the end of my videos, I always say about subscribe. Why do I say that? Repetition. Why? Because more people would be inclined to do it if they hear it enough.
That's
I researched that before I started doing it. See, I researched everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way the human psyche works. So if you could do that for the bad, like propaganda, if you want to show one group of people as bad people, like for instance, I can go 30 days in a row and show teachers of one persuasion group and say how they the worst people in the earth. And after those 30 days,
exactly.
I have everybody saying the exact same thing because I'm constantly repeating it to them for 30 days straight. That's
mm-hmm.
how propaganda works. And people don't understand propaganda in the media and how they do that and how they have agendas and all this other stuff. And it goes right back you know, to child raising.
Don't you think it's kind of weird we as adults understand propaganda, but we suggesting our children to it?
Well, a lot of adults don't understand it either, though. It's only not too many people understand propaganda like that.
Is it really propaganda, or are they just trying to sell you something? Is what I think. I think really.
Well, I think
all of that.
Well, no,
it's
propaganda. Everything
do.
The media has a propaganda. They do. That, for instance, I'm gonna give you propaganda right now. When they talk about Chicago, oh, Chicago is so violent. Chicago, Chicago, Chicago. Okay, whatever city you living in right now, they had a homicide happen. They had a homicide here in Houston, I promise you. They had a few of them here. I promise you that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, all you talk about is Chicago. And then when they show Chicago, Chicago isn't made of just black people or black gangs.
No,
they have Hispanic gangs there. They have Asian gangs, white gangs. They only show the black people who kill each other over there. That's propaganda. Show it all.
Can I add
on
something to
do
with
you?
I grew up on the west side. And the one thing people keep saying every time they talk about shootings and all this stuff, and I'm not excusing anything, Chicago has the lowest crime rate it's had in the last 50 years. So, yes, it's bad now, but it was bad 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and you could change races with each decade if you want to.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Let me add on to. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead, bro. My bad.
No, I mean, if I show is right, I've lived here in outside of Houston now. I've lived in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Baltimore. I was born in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing different.
Exactly.
You know,
but you know, I want to add on to that real quick.
If one city's bad, how come these other cities are on First 48 all the time?
Yeah. But you know what, man? It's the same way out here in the Bay Area. A lot of people say, you know, Oakland bad, Oakland bad. Yeah, Oakland is bad, but let me sit there and tell y'all something. They don't ever show y'all the nice parts of Oakland either. In the hills, a lot of people don't know that popping in from California in the Oakland Hills, they got a vast amount of rich folks, filthy freaking rich folks. You know what I mean? Very nice neighborhoods up there. I mean, I ain't going to lie. That's probably, I'd say, that area, the downtown area.
They got rich people in Chicago, too.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, but they're not going to show that, though. You know what I mean? They only want to show, you know, the bad parts. You know what I mean? And like you said,
like
that
I
is
said,
propaganda.
Back,
you know, the same thing over and over.
To propaganda. Well, that's really staying back a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, being the proper example for your children.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a big issue with a lot of kids. And before I get into that, let me ask this caller this one question. Area code 412, you're on the show.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
So, quick question.
What's the topic of discussion?
Topic of discussion today is bad kids or poor parenting. So we've been going through different scenarios about with the parenting. We talked about discipline, the different forms of discipline, what that parents may do to children, whatever age group. We talked about should you be your child's friend versus being their parent. And now we're about to get into being a proper role model before your children and how that has an effect on them.
Okay, well, see, I think that in the African-American community, the parenting has changed so drastically from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, where you had parents who were more conservative and religious, and they wanted their children to do well and to get married and do the proper traditional things. But as soon as the 80s came along, I think it just shifted. I can't really say for sure because I wasn't around during that time. I was born in 1990. But I do think that there was something that happened in the 80s or the 90s that kind of shifted the
It's two things that made that shift that you're talking about. First is the welfare that came in and it states that, you know, well, a man can't be in the home. That caused a problem with a breakup in our family structure. Then the crack epidemic was like the nuclear bomb of the black community.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and ever since then, you had a lot of crack babies in that time period. A lot of crack babies have grown up to adults today, and that's why you see some of them so wilding out, because some of them are crack babies. It's just a truth. It's just a fact. And prior to that, you were talking about us being extremely conservative. We had two-parent households also. And then we believed in the Lord, went to church, we prayed together. We struggled together during the civil rights movement and stuff like that. And also, it's just the breakdown of our families a big issue in the black community. It's a family thing. That's why I always talk about we need
a family. Well,
really,
the breakdown of the black community itself was a big thing. I mean, we really don't have a strong community base any longer. And another thing, what you said earlier about the parenting or poor parenting, but children are having children now, and you have 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds and younger than that having babies, you know, and so there's not a lot of sex education for these children, and they don't learn, like, that love is more than sex. It's not, you know, just having sexual intercourse, but there's more to love than that. They don't get those things, and so they're not educated enough to really, I'm not talking about book education, I'm talking about life education. They're not educated enough to know as far as, and make a better judgment, you know, in their, when they go about their life to know what's right and what's wrong.
Yes, I agree with that. Ms. Gabrielle, got anything to say about that?
Mm-hmm. I think it, like, I mean, I agree. It has a lot to do with, I mean, there's certain things that you just can't learn out of a book. There's certain things that you learn from experience. I was actually taught to learn from the mistakes of others, and I was always taught to just look around and observe and see what everybody else is doing and see the mistakes that they're making and try to, you know, and try not to go down the same path, because I've had people in my personal life, I'm not going to say who, you know, all the details, but I've seen people my age that have children, and I see the effects of, you know, being like that loose lifestyle, like going to the club every weekend, drinking all the time, sleeping all around all the time. Yeah, they think that they're having the time of their life, but I've learned through just from what I was taught and then from just watching, just sitting back and saying, okay, let me see if this can be a teachable moment. And I've learned so much from watching other people's experiences. You know?
Well, you said earlier about the community itself. That's it contributed to a lot of the issues, at least with the black children. It's, you know, just don't have a mother and father in the household. And it's like they keep repeating the same cycle. And we talk about being a good role model for your children. You know, if you grew up that way, why would you want your children to grow up that way? I mean, you could set the proper example by, you know, just being a good person, doing what's right. You know, don't be dressing all ratchet in front of your kids and smoking drugs.
Yeah, but you know what? When that cycle is started, as far as the breakdown of the two-parent household, it becomes generational. And it's like the parents who are parents from who are children of the ones who had the two parents, they're trying to educate children who don't have that opportunity as far as to know that there is a better option out there, and there are, you know, examples to look up to, you know, not to always look to TV or entertainment to see that, you know, there's all these examples of Real Housewives and all that mess, you know, all those reality shows, but there's not a true living example of a good black family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But parents who let their kids know also that stuff is entertainment. That
mm-hmm.
stuff is make believe. It's edited. And that's how, when I see those shows, I don't take it as, oh, that's so serious and that's how the black community is. That is a television show that's even they say so called reality. Those reality shows are still scripted to make sure you only put in certain parts in it to make the
uh-huh.
show good. And if you allow your – that's a problem, too, today. We allow the Internet and the television to raise our kids. That's the first thing we want to do, give them technology. Here, let the YouTube raise them, or the, like you say, Housewives or Love and Hip Hop raise them, when that's just entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad that you want to be you know, you see females talking about they want to be like Jocelyn Hernandez. I mean, that's not who you want to be like, Jocelyn Hernandez. You know, you should be like, well, I want to be like my mom, or I want to be like my dad, because, man, he did this good, he did that good, instead of that.
But unfortunately, sometimes the parents aren't around. Like, they have to work all the time. Like, sometimes the parents, they come home at like 8 and 9 o'clock at night, and by the time they come home, the only thing they can do is eat and go to sleep. They don't really have time to spend with their kids, and so sometimes they feel like they have no choice but to let the Internet raise their children. And it's unfortunate that little girls are looking up to, they want to be like Nicki Minaj, and they aspire to be like Mimi Faust, and they want to make sex tapes so they can get attention, because that's all they see, that's all they know. They don't really have a proper example, because how much can your parent do if they're never around?
But you got to do what you got to do, you know, to take care of your children. Some people is in a position where they may have to work two jobs to take care of their children, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are they supposed to do? Say, well, you know, I got to take care of them or I'm not going to, you know, feed them. So it does leave you in a messed up situation. That's why I tell people all the time, if you can prevent it, you know, don't have kids until you're married, because it does take two people to raise children, in my opinion.
It does.
Because for the simple fact,
village.
You may just get tired. You may be tired, and you need the other person to help you pick up the slack even financially, you know. I mean, it's good to do things together, you know, you and that man. And because sometimes you do need, you know, both parties to tackle an issue. Because, you know, it's good to have two points of view on something versus just one, you know, when you're dealing with an issue with children. So, you know, I don't know why we got to the point that we just throw technology in front of the kids. And, you know, it's like, I need to ask a chiropractor if everybody going to have neck problems later. Everybody had a head down on their phone. Everybody.
We're going to have carpal tunnel, too. We're going to have carpal tunnel, neck problems, hearing problems, because we've been putting the headphones on full blast.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, she joked and said that there's going to be a huge rise in, like, everybody from our generation, like the 90s kids and the like some of the 2000 kids and the 80s, some of the 80s people, too, are going to have – we're all going to have hearing aids, and we're all going to have hearing problems, and we're all not going to be able to see because we always got something plugged in all the time. We always got headphones on full blast, and we're always staring at these screens.
Yep. That, I believe that. You know, yeah, and also, too, yeah, my wife brought that up about a lot of times when them kids pay attention to that technology, they never pay attention to their surroundings either. You know, anybody could be trying to do them something or whatever, but they got their earphones in. That's the worst thing to do is have an earphone in. At least turn it down to the point that you can hear.
Mm-hmm. So you should never be so wrapped up in your technology that you don't know what's going on around you. Because even if, like, sometimes I'll be listening to YouTube videos when I'm out shopping and stuff or I'm at the gym, but I always have it to the level where I can still hear people's conversations. Just in case, because you never know. Somebody might be stabbing somebody or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I just also think that when children do it, have their earphones in when they're in the presence of adults or, you know, or in the presence of elderly, I think it's really disrespectful because it's not even just isolating them from the larger group, it's just making them seem like they're not interested in being being around the person, and so it makes it just so awkward.
Yeah, and more they have these headphones come out, you know, all these different ones like Beats and all that other stuff like that, you know, that you can't, I mean, trust me, I got some Beats headphones and you can't hear nothing once you turn them things up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they pretty good. I give them that. But, you know, like you said, I don't like to do that when I'm, you know, around people. I don't want to pay attention, see what's going on, look at my surroundings. But these teenage kids, they don't think that way. Like I said, my daughter, she's big about that. Always listening to something on that phone, and you try to call her name, and you turn around looking at her, she still don't hear you. Like, hey, you know, and they say, huh? I'm like, you turn that thing down so you're trying to ask you a question?
It's just a different generation, different day and time.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, yeah, you know, it's funny because I think to myself, I say, soon they're going to start phasing out these cell phones and they're going to go on to something new, something even bigger. You know, they have these, you know, they started cell phones in the 70s, I believe, and then they came out with the Android or the smartphone in 2000, and I can't remember which year, but soon they're going to
be on Android. The first system that dropped with Android was the G1, because I remember, because I had it, and because all they had was Apple before then. Then Android took off. It really took off. It revolutionized smartphones. Was that one? Then they had what Windows came out with theirs, but it never really took off. But like you said, the cell phones, yeah, it started off extremely huge and it was expensive. Nobody could have it. Then it got to the point, God, you remember cell phones were extremely small and you was real cool. You had a small cell phone. Now the phones got big again. And now you're cool if you got the biggest phone.
Yeah.
But you know what? Those smartphones aren't that smart because they break down quicker than the regular phone.
I guess it. Before I buy a phone, I research. I check, like, the specs and everything. I just don't go buy a phone just because it's a new phone. Mm-hmm. Like, before I bought my phone, I got that Samsung Galaxy Note 3. And, I got a big phone. So, I researched what was underneath the phone and the hardware and what it does. I said, okay, now I'm going to buy this phone, because I did want a bigger phone because, my wife got the Note 2. And, but I think she says she wants to trade that one in for the S5, I think. But she says she's sick of that big phone. But, how it goes with cell phones. Every year is a new phone. Every single year. And it goes back mm-hmm. to them kids with that. How them kids are spoiled as hell. They always want the new phone, too. It don't work. $600 phones. And then you buy your kids a phone because it's like, well, I like to get in contact with them. And sometimes that phone can be a good thing, with a kid. Like, say, like you're on a field mm-hmm. trip or somewhere. But then this is my problem. And my wife can tell you this. They got phones they don't want to answer when you ain't home. Like, answer the doggone phone, but they answer that text message.
Mm-hmm. I hate when people do that.
Antisocial. Like, that phone is making too many people antisocial, including kids. All they want to do is text. They don't call. You never hear a kid talk on the phone no more. You really don't. All you do is text. Like, why are you so antisocial?
That actually scares me when people do that. Like, I'll have somebody, but there's plenty of people I can call them. And they'll hang up on me and then send me a text. And it's like, okay. Now, I can understand if you're doing something, but half the time they're just sitting around the house and they don't want to pick their phone up. It's like there's some people that actually are scared of talking. And I think that actually does have to do with sometimes that has to do with parenting too because there's parents I don't think they're doing it intentionally, but they do make their kids antisocial because they kind of just let the kid just come home. They're a latchkey kid, and they come home, and they just get on the Internet all day long doing God knows what. And they kind of have, like, this little Internet fantasy life, and they'll have, like, this cyber reality life. But when it comes to being able to talk to regular people, they can't do it.
So they can't control.
I want to add to that. I just want to add to exactly what she just said right there. That's my whole point right there. I think that, like I said, Facebook, all these, these Internet websites, the phones, it do to make a lot of these kids antisocial. I mean, if you come up to a young, I guess, like let's say a young 21-year-old, try to shake his hand, hey, how you doing or whatever, they look at you like they don't know exactly what to do. It's almost like they're scared. And they don't like to talk to people, up front, or to their face, but when they're behind the computer, it's a totally different story. You know what I mean? So it's like when they're behind the computer, it's a total different thing. Or when they're behind a cell phone, they feel like they can be whoever they want to be. And I believe that, spending too much time up on, these phones and things like that, it does make a lot of these kids, like, super antisocial, And I think a lot of parents need to teach their kids people skills because when you're going for a job interview, Facebook and all that ain't going to help you. All that mess talking people be doing up on Facebook and, Twitter and all that type of stuff, it's not going to help you in the real life. There's a difference between the Internet or Facebook and all that stuff in real life, and a lot of these young ones need to realize that.
Yeah,
and
a lot of the young
people who do that internet stuff and that Twitter and Facebook, and not to say it's not, not good or anything, but they don't know how to have a conversation with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, they like I said, all they know is typing. They can't. And the thing is, I think they're scared to talk to people because they're not in control of the situation. Because when you are talking to somebody, you can really think before you say something versus having to talk on the spot. Like a job interview, you have to talk on the spot. You can't read the response and just wait and figure out what you're going to say or ignore it. You have to talk on a job. You have to talk.
It's not just jobs, though. It's in every aspect of life. I've seen people even have a healthy relationship at all because not just, dating they can't have healthy friendships either, because they can't even pick up the phone and call their friends. They can't actually, like, when they, like, I've seen groups of people hang out, and the whole, like, they'll be sitting there watching a movie or something. They'll have a movie playing, and every single person, and there'll be 10 people together, and they'll all be looking down at their cell phone doing something else, or texting somebody or having some other conversation. It's like, is this really what's happening? I don't know if you care.
That's
about
exactly
this.
What's happening.
I mean, there's so many science fiction novels that have talked about this. But it's been thinking, I can't remember what, but I think it's Fahrenheit 451. I can't remember. But there was a book that dealt with people just not being able, like, they kind of, people kind of just relied so much on electronics that, like, like education was almost banned, and, like, they got rid of all the books and stuff like that. And then people just got so wrapped up in technology, and this was a book that was written a long time ago before this kind of stuff ever happened. But people kind of do get caught up in this. They get so caught up in technology, and they lose sight of reality. Like, they don't know what it's like to really be around people. Like, it's kind of scary when you'll meet people online. Like, okay, I know a lot of people that are a little bit shyer in person than they are online. That's normal. But there's some people that literally can't even, they're like almost scared to open their mouth and talk and be able, they can't even deal with real world problems because they're so caught up in technology. Like, they don't know how to handle certain situations. Like, and they'll put all their personal business on Twitter, or they'll be sitting there like complaining about their baby daddy and stuff on Twitter. Okay, well, you have a problem with him, or if the guy's cheating on you, or your girl's cheating on you, why don't you handle it? Why are you gonna sit there and put all your business out there? Not gonna understand if you're upset. Like, some people say, oh, I'm having a bad day, I need someone to talk to. Okay, that's fine. But to sit there and be fighting on social media for the whole world to see, that's just something that you don't do. Like, there was, and that does go back to being raised properly, because I was raised that if you have a problem with somebody, you handle it. Or if you as a couple, or like if you're in a relationship and you're having a fight, you don't fight in front of everybody. You don't sit there and have a fight on Facebook for everybody so you can get likes.
Yeah, that is stupid. Why would that? You know? That's another thing. Mm-hmm. I see people arguing with their significant other across the Facebook in front of everybody to see, like, dude, female, y'all go sit up there and go hash it out, you know, between each other. Don't do that online. Then other people jump in and instigate stuff with that and pull it up more than what it is, because they like mess and they like to see beefing and all this other stuff. I mean, like, people in this
some
day and time
just have too much time on their hands. It's just
that's
ridiculous.
It. And
they don't know what to do with their time.
They're not even getting paid to be online like that. If you're getting paid, that's one thing. But
That's exactly the reason why I don't even have a personal Facebook, is because I used to have one, but the thing what pisses me off is that, yeah, a lot of people, they get up on there and they say a lot of stuff that you wouldn't even say to somebody's face. Like, they get up on there and have a problem with their family member. You know exactly where that person lives at. You got their phone number, but you up on Facebook talking all that crazy stuff. It's the same thing with YouTube. And what sucks about it is that it's grown-ups that feed into this too. They love to get behind that internet and, you know, the computer and say some of the craziest stuff. But I'm like, dude, put me in the same room as you. Lock the door. Let's see if you're going to say all that type of stuff now, you know? Maybe it's going to be a couple of people that might do it.
They don't do it. They're like, oh, man, you know, I was just playing, man. That's the internet. You know
what I mean? Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Come on, man. Don't let that bother you. You know, it's one of the things.
No, I don't. I remember when I first got up on YouTube, I used to sit there and say, I'm like, these people, you know, it's something else. Now, if I, so you know, it's like I said, I'm sure, man, you get a lot of crazy stuff. Cause I know I get a lot of crazy stuff. I'm sure you got a lot of people coming at you, you know? But it's like, you telling me that you're going to see a vice show TV on the streets and come up to him in front of his wife and kids and disrespect him, and you think he ain't going to say anything? You know, okay, come on, let's get real here. Who does that? Nobody really does that in real life unless you're just really looking for some problems, you know, or expecting to get it. I'll put it like this. If you do something like that to somebody, you better be expecting something to happen to you, you know? But I think a lot of people...
back to parenting, because I'm the type of person, I respect everybody, even online. Like, if somebody don't like me, you want to cuss me, say, I don't even argue with y'all. Say, okay, that's fine. That's how you feel. I'm going to block you, and then I'm going to move on about my business. Because I don't know you. I don't know if you're on your last leg. I don't know if you want to kill me and kill yourself. I don't know. So just because I don't know who I'm talking to, I'm going to block you and go about my business. Hold on a second. Just let everybody know. Let me see. You got, what, 25 minutes left. The phone call number is 347-996-3350. The two callers in the queue that's there, if you want to speak, press 1. I'll let you on because I just see you there. The 912 and the 405, you want to speak. Anything more than that, I'm just thinking that you want to listen. Anyway, so, yeah, it's just all that stuff, like I said, goes back to parenting and being a role model, because some people seeing a parent be a hell raiser, and that's all they know. All they do is cuss people out, cuss, have a bad attitude, and do all this other stuff. Then they go online and do it. And, you know, it's sad also to see grown folks my age and even older doing all this ratchet stuff. But give me a second. Hold on. I need to answer this call here. Eric code 912, you on the show?
Yes, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I was calling because my son, I have a high schooler, so, you know, and so my husband and I, we are raising him. And it is so much different how I was raised because I, you know, some of the things I see, like women that's doing, that's out here now, these are not the things I was raised to do. I was raised to respect the elders, to show respect, and this is what we're teaching our son. And sometimes, you know, he'll tell us, you know, well, my friends, their parents, they let us do this or that. And we always have to tell them, you know, I don't care what they do, because, see, I don't believe in letting your child talk to you any kind of way they want to, or do anything they want to, and that's just disrespectful, you know, because I wasn't raised like that, and, you know, we tell him, he's not like this, so like today, he was telling me, he said, you know, he's a junior, and he was telling me, like, some of the things that some of the kids are doing, the seniors this year are doing, like, pranks that they're doing, you know, already, and he was saying, you know, some of the things that some of the kids that graduate next year are talking about doing, and I told him, I said, no, you're not going to do that. I said, you know, you're just not going to do it. I said, I don't care what they do. You're not going to be doing it, you know. But I said, but you know, I just don't think a lot of the kids today, they're being, I think a lot of it is the parenting, because some of the parents, they want to, I don't think at a certain age you can be a friend to your kids. Maybe once when they get grown and, you know, they become adults, you can go that route. But when they're still teenagers, when they're still at home, you need to be a parent to them. It's a parent job to teach them values, to teach them about life, to teach them about the world. I don't feel like you could be a friend and a parent at the same time when they're still young. And like I said, once they get grown and they start having a family of their own, and then, you know, that makes the roles may shift a little bit. But when they're still young, I think that you need to be a parent to them and teaching them about life and teaching them about values and stuff. That's what a parent is
to do. Everything you said, I agree 100%, because, like, you're talking about being a friend. I'm 34 years old. I couldn't imagine going to sit down with my mama just getting drunk with her. That's my mother. I wouldn't do that. Well, I don't get drunk no way. But I'm just using an example. I mean, like, that's no respect there, you know, like, or you know, it's a lot of people like that. Or like you said, a lot of these kids aren't prepared for the world. Then they go out in the world, make all kind of mistakes financially, or even just in life, and then they coming back to your house. See, my thing is, I got to prepare you because I don't want you to come back here. I want you to go. I want my freedom. If I don't prepare you, that means you will come back here. I don't want you here. I want to be free with me and my wife, and then we want to walk around the house, half dressed, we can. Because we free now. We raise our kids.
Well, that's the same thing.
That's the problem. A lot of parents don't raise their kids right, and they don't really have the freedom, because, like, they can't really enjoy not having kids anymore.
I'm going to enjoy it, man, because I'm like, look, I did my job. You got to go. What I'm supposed to do? Figure it out. I figured it out. You got to figure it out, too.
Well, there's some parents that will sit there and condone bad behavior, though. They'll sit there and they'll have their kids back in the house. The kids will be 30-something years old with their own kids in there, and the grandparents have to sit there.
I got a friend like that right now.
I mean, you got to be 60 years old. You have to wash it. You still got to wash a 30-something year old son's clothes and take care of his kids because he didn't make the right choices in life.
But I think a lot of
and they're not even paying rent.
And my wife making me laugh about an issue my sister-in-law had with her husband, talking about her dad told him, say, you need to fix your issues. You ain't coming back here. but it's the truth. You done. You know, it's like you don't want nobody in your house. I get it. And one thing kids will do, let's say if you're a parent and you really, you know, have a decent-sized house or whatever, you say, I don't want you here. Well, look what size house you got. You got room for me. Yeah, it's my house. You need to go get your own. Because you ain't coming back here in my house. No. Go pay. Now, if you got some emergency or something like that and something happened, you can come back here for 90 days. That's it. After 90 days, you got to go. That's enough time for you to get off apartment and get out. I can't find a job. McDonald's hiring all the time. Your dad worked at McDonald's before and stocked groceries at the same time so he can make enough money. So why can't you do it? Your dad did day labor at one point in time, too. So why can't you do it? That's me. You can't tell me then what you can't do because I didn't just about done a lot of it all, you know. So them excuses won't work for me. You're not going to just parley in my house. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not being grown.
Yeah. I mean, I think that some of these parents, they got to scare you like that, though. They have to tell you, we're only going to help you out for so long. After that, you're on your own. I'm sorry. You got to grow up eventually. Because if you're still in your 30s and you can still call on your, I'm not saying that your parents can't help you out and they shouldn't help you out, but after a certain point, you can't just be relying on other people and you have to grow up eventually.
That goes back to parenting. Parents got to know when to show tough love because you can cripple your child by bailing them out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you should never do. Like, I will only help my child unless I saw they done everything they could and they still didn't make it. That's when I come in. I'm not going to be there to catch you. No, you're going to fall on your behind a bunch of times if you got to, just so you can learn. But if it's something too big, then I'll come in then. Because if you don't teach your child to grow up and do stuff on their own, even as an adult, you don't. Because trust me, in my own family, right now, I got family members that live in that life where mom and dad saved them all their life and they still at mom and dad's house. So, you know, it's just like, I say, hell no. It ain't happening. Not with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to prepare them for life. Prepare them to get out of my house and go to live your own. That way I can come to your house and visit. You know what I'm saying? And treat me out to dinner sometime. I treated you out to dinner all these years. You can treat me out to some sushi or something. That's why I want you prepared.
Yeah, that is true. I personally totally agree with you up on that, Ben, because, like I said, I got a friend with exactly what she was describing. Like, he's in his 30s, got his kid up in the house. I mean, and it was crazy is his parents let the sister do the exact same thing. They got married, and they still was living in the house with kids. I'm like, what are y'all fools going to ever get out? And now, like, right now, he can't even, you know, tough times and came up on him, you know. I mean, and, you know, he hasn't been able to get the best type of job, and now his mom is like, man, you know, you ain't going to never be able to make it, you know, doing what you do. But it's the truth. I'm like, he had never, ever, ever had to ever pay his own bills. He's never even known what it's like to even have his own apartment, you know, because his parents bail him out of everything. Mm. You know what I mean?
Sad. How you have
since high school,
man.
I know. I'm like, I cannot believe it. Yes.
How you have
I'm
some grown man
you.
In your house scratching his scrotum in your house?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Hey, Vito, this what you said is the truth. Like, I feel this way. Like, you help your kids to the best of your ability. You know, I feel like I would help my son. When my son gets older, I would help him as long as he's trying to help himself. You're not trying to help yourself. I'm not going to sit there and just, you know what I mean? And just
see,
be, you know, just taking
back,
care of you
what
like that.
What you're talking about goes back to the way you raise them, too. If you start them kids off young doing chores and being responsible with chores and, you know, your son get older and say, all right, boy, it's your job cutting this grass. I ain't cutting it. Why I got to cut it? Because I pay bills. You cutting grass, you taking out trash, that's your job, period.
I see that grass,
I'm going to pull you up right out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to start going and cut grass.
Exactly. Make them earn their keep, man.
First building in the house. Then when they leave your house, it won't be that hard for them to get established.
Mm-hmm. I used to complain about washing dishes all the time. You know, when you're young, you know, your parents make you wash dishes. I used to say, hey, the dishes pile up all day long, and then at the end of the night, everybody get done eating. I got to wash the dishes. You know what? I'm still washing dishes, though. But as I'm older, you know, my son ain't old enough to really do it. But
my daughter's got dish night, dish week. But see, at first, my wife used to alternate between them, like, okay, you wash dishes one day, and then you wash another. But they were arguing too much, and my wife was like, okay, you washing dishes for this week, and then this week you go clean the bathroom and vacuum. And then you're going to switch every other week. And that's what she does with them. And I, so I ask her, who this week it is? Or it's hers. Okay, wash them dishes. Because we ain't having that in here. I said, the roaches don't pay bills here, so they can't live here, so clean.
Oh, man. That's real talk, though, man. Like you said, a lot of that, you know, a lot of kids don't really understand when they're young, but you're trying to teach your kids some responsibility. You know, that's all because you care about them. You're trying to teach them how to earn their own keep. And since, you know, when you're living in a house with your parents, if you ain't really got nothing contributing as far as money to the table or whatever the case, I mean, you're going to have to do what you got to do. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, like you said, you're trying to teach them responsibility. And a lot of times, you know, we don't see it that way when we're younger. But when we get older, we're like, you know what, man? You know, mom and dad, they was right for what they were trying to, you know, say. I didn't understand it back then, but now I do. I get it now, especially when they get their own kids and they really get it, you know?
Yeah, and then also, too, like I was talking about, like, by my daughters, I said, you know, y'all need to know how to do everything in the house. I said, because I don't want to be around here raising no good-for-nothing females. And then you get out of this house, and all you know how to do is microwave stuff. Say, I don't want no guy to get to the point he can't marry you because you don't know how to do nothing. Period.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Cook, like,
I say, I everything
know
how
to roll
to
a dough out, bake a pie, you know, bake a pie from scratch, and bake a roast from scratch. You know, all those skills they need to learn early. You know, you
that's
can't
right.
just.
You need to learn.
I mean, our family didn't even. We didn't even. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. You need to know how to cook, clean, and sew before you leave the house. Just at least do basic things in the house, how to put, I mean, nowadays people don't even know how to put a button back on a shirt. They don't know how to iron. They don't know how to do anything. And then they come out in the world. Like I've said this so many times, but I've had a friend, and when we were doing some type of project in home ec, and she had to call her mom to ask how to boil an egg. I mean,
children these days don't know how to do anything.
Now, these kids can at least make a little few things. I'm not saying they can make extravagant stuff, but at least they can make a little bit, you know, and that's fine. I was telling my wife, I said, by my oldest daughter, I said, hey, that girl needs to start washing clothes. And she was like, yeah, but I like washing all the clothes at one time, and my mom did this. Well, I said, yeah, that's fine. That girl needs to know how to wash her clothes because she ain't going to be here forever. It's like, she in 4 years, she's going to be 18. And, well, matter of fact, she's going to be 15 in August. So it ain't that long for her to grow up, you know what I'm saying? And he also, too, talking about kids. We had a conversation with her just recently, and we laid down the rules. Say, listen, you go to college, you can stay here. Full-time college, you can stay here. No problem until you graduate. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to go to college, then we give you a few months, and you need to get out because you're not going to stay here unless you're going to college. That's simple.
Yeah,
and we tell that to a girl. So imagine how I would be with my son. I'll be even 10 times worse because, you know, you got to be a man. And it's my responsibility to teach you to be a man because I'm not going to have no sorry, good for nothing son either. That's going to be out here lazy, sorry. I don't want him out here making no babies and fooling with these hood rats and all that. No. So I got to educate him the right way. But I'll be pissed off if my son came in the house with a hood rat. I'll be pissed.
I would too, bro.
I don't know any parent who would be proud of that. I don't know any parent who would be happy if your son brought back Shaniqua with boss ass dick tattooed across her chest and everything else.
Bro, hey, I'm glad you said that because see, more fathers need to be aware of this. Like, hey, son, like, get you a decent chick, you know, a decent woman. That's not saying to say chick, but a woman, you know, a decent woman to bring home, not somebody that's just wilding out, you know what I mean? Because you have to understand, it's like you have to be very careful who you have kids with nowadays. Once you have a kid with that person, you're forever tied with that person
for the rest of your life. I already said I'm going to do to my son. I want him to get a job when he's 16. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to teach him about child support. And I'm going to say, son, what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to take 20% of your income from you, and I'm going to put it in an account for you for about 6 months. And I want you to see how it feels to have 20% of your income taken away from you. Then I'm going to add maybe an extra $100 with that 20% for insurance, just so you can see how it feels to pay child support. And then once you see that, then you may think twice. A lot of guys don't know how child support feels, and I think fathers need to prepare their sons for child support so they can think twice when they're young and they depend on their little money, like, nope, I'm taking it, like child support. And say, so you want to pay child support now? You know, get them little females pregnant. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. You know, if I think if more dads would do that to their sons, they probably wouldn't be thinking about getting females pregnant as much. But that's what I'm going to do because, you know, hey, child support ain't nothing you want to pay. It's not fun.
I feel bad for y'all, man. I feel bad for the men out there, especially the men out there that's good men that have to pay child support because, you know, unfortunately, like I said, you know, our judicial system is very biased, you know, and it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of cases out here, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a good guy or not in some cases. They just automatically just assume, you know, hey, let them file for child support, and that's it. That's the end of the story.
Yeah,
now,
men,
I don't have to pay child support. I'm glad.
Men are the devil when it comes to that. But hold on a second. I need to answer a call. I don't want to.
Okay.
Erico 423, you on the show.
Yeah, my name Mike, man. I don't mean to jump off subject, but I just came across the video you posted like back in 2012. I was the gentleman with the cops harassed in front of my son about the dogs.
What's the name of the video itself? I've done so many.
They say cops harass father for nothing.
Cops harass father for nothing?
Yeah, it's in Akron, Ohio.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to type it in right now. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to call and go off subject,
okay,
but...
Okay, yeah, I see that. You the one in the white T-shirt?
Yeah, and if you look at the back of my shirt, I start this thing called Team Stand Up Fathers, and it's crazy that I'm hearing y'all talking. That's pretty much what I'm trying to get going. But my main point was I'm still trying to find legal help. It's like these lawyers are scared to take that harassment case. I done filed two complaints. The captain called me and told me that only thing could happen, there's only two things that could happen. They was justified in what they did, or he said it never happened. And they left it at that. And they nothing else ever happened. So it's like the lawyer's scared.
Well, have you ever tried a lawyer out of state?
No, I don't know which way to go.
Like I said, I could pass you the number to my attorney and see what she'll tell you. You know, maybe she could, you know, see what's going on with it or what she thinks.
Yes, sir.
You know, maybe you can call her from there. Let me see. I think you gave me your information here on
Facebook.
On Facebook. Well, let me see here. Matter of fact, right now I'll pass you her information. Just let me get to it real quick. That way I won't forget, because once I get off of this line, I got so many other things I got to do. Give me a second. Yeah, she's pretty good. That's who I use. Let me see. I'll give you her number. She's here in Houston, but you still can ask her. Let me see. I'll write her name down in here. Yeah, just tell her... just tell her you were sent to her by me, and she should be able to advise you some sort of way. I put it in Facebook. It's a telephone number there and her name, and you go from there. Because any other man that has an issue, I mostly send everybody to her. You know, and just see what she'll tell you, because she does criminals, she does family law, she does it all. So you know.
I tell
brothers always go legal, man. Don't, you know, not every lawyer is scared, so just go legal and see what she's saying, what she could do, or what advice she may. She may know a lawyer in your area, I don't know. You know, but just talk. Yeah, she's pretty good.
All right, I appreciate it, sir.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, Ms. Gabriella, we got about 6 minutes left in the show. Do you want to... do your thing before we wrap this up.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to me on YouTube. All the links for every other social network that I'm on are actually in all the descriptions of my videos. I've been talking about weight loss and health because I'm actually on a weight loss journey right now, and I also do a bunch of different types of videos, be it hair, makeup, and just generally talking about how you can learn to love yourself and just be a better person and all different types of things like that. I also take requests too. So make sure you check me out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/user/GIGIAYUMU.
All right. Well, Ms. Gabriella gave y'all her information. I want to appreciate everybody for joining the show tonight and everything, stopping in, talking about parenting or whatever else that we want to discuss here. We diverted on some of the topics, but we stayed on topic, I'm going to say, at least 89% of the time. See, Ms. Gabriella, I said 89%, not 90. anyway, like I said, I appreciate everybody watching the show, of course. You know, make sure you, you know, check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/TheAdvisorShowTV. Check out my channel. I'm just having fun on Ratchet Video Weekly. That channel's doing pretty good. I like to enjoy that once a week. And please don't come over there being serious, telling me, oh, my God, these videos is just hurting the black community. It ain't hurting no black community. Them people put the videos up themselves. They don't represent me. They represent them. And I'm a laugh at it. Anyway, you know, I just want to make sure I put that out there. And then, you know, then I have my other channel, the Advice Show Media channel, that I probably put up the shows. I'm also put up a video there tomorrow as well. I thought it was crazy. I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook, Ms. Gabriella, about this this white lady called the guy a nigger, and she was smiling real big about it. Did you see that at the gas station?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that was, I like, it freaked me out because she was smiling so big. You're thinking, is she joking or is she serious? But she was serious. You know, you recorded it. It's crazy. You have to see it, but I'll put it up tomorrow on this other channel. So, like I said, we'll definitely be back with next week or so. Don't ask me what the topic is. It just comes to me spur in a moment like this one did this morning. I'll be putting up my videos here shortly. I think I put up four videos today. Yeah, about four videos. And Jay Miller and everybody, appreciate you stopping on by, hanging out with us, you know, tonight. Everything going all right on that YouTube channel, Jay Miller?
Yeah, everything going cool, man. Just been, you know, I just been so busy. I ain't been able to upload not as many as I would like to, you know, but so much stuff going on, you know. But everything going cool, man. Everything going good, bro.
Okay, all right. Just checking in. What's up? But anyway, everybody. Yeah. I'll just keep on. You know, make sure also, you know, Instagram, follow me there. Advisor Media. Forgot about that. Facebook.com/TheAdvisorShow and also Twitter.com/TheAdvisorShow. What I've been doing here lately on Instagram, I don't know if you guys follow me there. I've been putting up, you know, little 15-second, you know, videos, you know, here lately just to kind of, you know, spruce up the page a little bit more. Like some people have been liking that a little bit more than just putting little pictures. So we're probably going to continue with that as well. So I want to thank everybody once again. Take care
and have a good
night, and make sure you go to Advisor TV. I'm about to put all the videos out.
All right, thanks, man. You have a good one, bro.